Good morning. Be seated. I want to put this gospel in context. Last Sunday, Bob preached about the fruits of the Spirit, and we are building up to Pentecost on May 20th. And you remember, if you were here, that the first part of the chapter of 9, of chapter 15 in John, is about the vine. And that how we have to remain connected to God in order to bear fruit, in order to manifest the gifts of the Spirit. So now in this next part of chapter 15, the gospel really gets very clear about the ultimate fruit of the Spirit, and that is love. And because I wasn't mic'd, but even more because I think Jean Peterson's gospel reading is more accessible. And this gospel is a big deal. Jesus says, I have loved you the way God has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I have done. I have kept God's commands and made myself at home in the love of God. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another in the way I love you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends. When you do things that I have taught you, I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking or planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from God. You didn't choose me, remember? I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that will not spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask God in relation to me, God will give you. But remember my command, love one another. If we had any conception, any idea of how much God loves us, we would not worry about all those little things that we spend all day worrying about. Because the way God loves us is exactly the way God loves Jesus. It was the reason for Jesus' life. God wanted us to know how beloved we are in God's eyes. So if we abide in God's love, we would experience abiding in the same love as the relationship between God and Jesus. We would trust that love. We would rest in that love. And we would know our true identity. The fruit of knowing our true identity is we are God's creation. We are God's idea. We are incarnate as Jesus was incarnate. We are a particular manifestation of God in this particular body, designed out of the earth to live on the earth at this particular time. And when we abide in knowing whose we are and how beloved we are, we can rest. We can trust and rely on the fact that nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. When we live in that awareness, when we relax into trusting what Jesus is talking about here, when we allow ourselves to rest in God's love, that's when we are capable of being loving. We are capable of paying attention to what the Spirit of God is forming in us, to paying attention to what the Holy Spirit guides us to do and to say in response to our own particular life situation. When we rest in God's love and trust God's love for us, we do feel joy. And we are joyful. And it is our joyfulness, our aliveness, that is attractive. And that makes others want to be a follower of Jesus. Want to be in our presence. But we're the biggest recipient. We're the one who gets the most out of knowing how loved we are. And Jesus leaves us one foundational commandment. It is not easy. Love one another the way I have loved you. The very best way to love, you didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit. Whatever you ask God in relation to me, God will give you. But remember, love one another. Now, this is exactly what brought you here this morning. You're Jesus chosen. And you came for connection and support with others who know themselves to be the chosen of Jesus. You came for support to bear fruit, to trust and to offer your particular gifts, not to match somebody else, not to worry about somebody who seems to have more than you, smarter than you, better job than you. No. God needs you to be you. You are chosen by God to bear fruit right now. So how do we access this abiding relationship? How do we know the love of God? Well, in my life, it is the practice of starting every morning, journaling, lifting 5 gratitudes from the day before, recognizing 5 places, 5 people, 5 situations that were life-giving to me. In other words, where God showed up. And then meditating. Now, I work with positive psychologists, and Thomas Keating wanted us to do 20 minutes twice a day, but that's a stretch for most of us. And we now know that 10 minutes of deep quiet, sitting in the presence of God, bears fruit. And for me, that includes intercessions. I do pray for people, and I pray for concerns. Matter of fact, before I can get quiet, I have to do that first. I'm not saying that's the way to do it. That is just what works for me. Now, here's the interesting learning from this for me. Because every morning I get up with monkey mind. I get up with the message chattering away, you're not good enough, that wasn't good enough, there's way more that you need to do, the house isn't clean, you have no idea what we're having for dinner, and by the way, you haven't called that person in a long time. Da-da, da-da, da-da. Absolutely takes my spirit away. A list of all the inadequacies. That's where I start every day. Feeling assaulted, actually, by my thoughts. And I have to be really diligent not to align with that message and not to let that become my day. But here's what I've learned. Every day, by the time I have finished my morning devotional practice, I am in a different space. I'm in a different space in my body, and I'm in a different perception of reality. I'm ready to start the day. I feel aligned and ready to go into unknown situations, knowing that God is with me. Knowing that this is an opportunity for me to notice where God is inviting something life-giving to happen, and where I might be the agent to bring that about. It could just be a smile at a tired checkout person at Stop and Shop. Just noticing who they are. Or it might be a profound intervention in my psychotherapeutic practice, where finally my client gets it. I never know where the opportunity is going to show up, but I do know that I am held in God's love. And by resting there, I will be more creative, I will be more confident, I will be more caring, I will be more helpful. And I will also be protected. I can tell you, any day that I have not done my morning sit, by noon, I can feel it. I am distractible. I am frustrated. I am tired. I am rattled much more easily. So I'm suggesting to you that it is my experience that a practice of accessing and centering, resting in God's love for a few minutes every morning, is the only way that I have found to manifest love. Now, if your practice is yoga, if your practice is running, if your practice is swimming, working out, walking the dog, whatever you do that drops you out of your very busy mind into the quiet of your body, be sure to take the next 5 minutes to rest there, to sit in God's love and just be. You are a human being, not a human doing. And it is in the being that we are the most capable of manifesting our gifts. Because when we're centered in the quiet of our bodies, then we're not relying only on ourselves and our capacity. We are drawing on a source of love much deeper, much bigger than we have on our own. And I want to commend to you considering coming for healing prayer after the communion to stations in the back of the church. Because in this gospel, Jesus makes very clear, whatever you ask in my name, God will grant you. And the other thing that the healing team absolutely relies on and manifests is that when two or three of us are gathered, as David Thomas tells us every time, when two or three of us are gathered, asking for the same thing in Jesus' name, we have a sense that the love of Jesus and the healing power of God is present with us. Remember when he said, whenever two or three of you are gathered in my name, I will be among you. And when I say healing, I'm not talking about a cure. That would be lovely, and sometimes that happens. But I am talking about the relief of knowing that you are being prayed for and prayed with by other members of your congregation. You are sharing the load of what is heavy on your heart. And we are all resting in the same healing love and all counting on the promise of Jesus that whatever we ask in Jesus' name, God will grant us. And I am here as living proof that it is way more than we ever imagined. When I grew up in the church, we didn't have women priests. Whatever we ask in Jesus' name, God will grant us. What I am absolutely certain is true is the abiding power of resting in the love of God and trusting it to work through us. It will renew us, it will transform us. Resting in God's love gives us the strength, the courage, the excitement, even the joy of heading into a new day. And let's see where God's going to show up. Because God will show up if we're paying attention. It allows us to offer our gifts wherever they're needed. Trusting in the power of the Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.